The epistle appointed for this, the first Sunday after Easter, or Low Sunday, is taken from the first epistle of St. John. Beloved, all that is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is there that overcomes the world, if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came in water and in blood, Jesus Christ, not in water only, but in the water and in the blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness that Christ is the truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. John. At that time, when it was late that same day, the first of the week, though the doors where the disciples gathered had been closed for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. He therefore said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being closed, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Bring here thy finger and see my hands, and bring here thy hand and put it into my side. And be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. This is the end of the epistle and gospel reading. Please be seated. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Beloved, all that is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, amen. This Easter Sunday, we are reminded, or were reminded, I should say, of how we should conduct ourselves. For the last 40 days, we were doing penance, offering up our resolutions during Lent, and such like. And the very first thing that Holy Mother Church reminds us, and St. Paul to the Corinthians, "Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new dough, as you really are without leaven. For Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep festival, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Basically, put away the old man and put on the new. The resolutions that we kept, we should keep them. Always trying to change ourselves, to perfect ourselves. That's the whole point. And being here now, it's Easter time, and rejoicing at our Lord's resurrection, and we rejoice too. Reminding ourselves of our offerings that we gave during Lent as best we can. But we always got to keep moving forward. We got to do better. Always keeping in mind are the reasons why we're here in the first place. To know, love, and serve the good Lord. Anything outside that box does not count. It's got to be that only. I do my good works because of the love of God. I do my daily duties because of the love of God. I say my prayers because of the love of God. For the love of God, I ask the graces that I need to overcome my predominant faults. Because after all, we all want to become saints. We all want to become holy saints. And we are reminded what the good Lord offered for us. This is our encouragement when we look upon a crucifix. We see him in agony for me, for you. It's personal. Because if he didn't do that, we would not make it. We'd be doomed to our own iniquities and forever be removed from God. Whereas we know our Lord loved us so much that he was willing to do all this for us. And the main thing is all this that he did for us, the teaching, the preaching, the miracles, rejection of his own chosen people, the sufferings, scourging, the crowning of thorns, the crucifixion itself, his own death, all that is nothing if he didn't rise from the dead. Because that's the pinnacle of our faith, the resurrection. So we rejoice with our Lord because he has done all this for us. But he also wants us to offer up the things that he sends our way back to him. All the sufferings, inconveniences, everything that comes our way comes from the loving hand of God for only one reason, to perfect us in virtue, to continually cleanse us from former times. We want to be pure like God, then we have to put up with the things that he sends us in charity and in patience. But never lose our love and trust in God, our faith. Look at St. Peter. Oh, he swore up and down, I will never deny you, I'll go to jail, I'll do everything for you. And our Lord says, okay, and just let it go. Look what happened. One lady challenged him. Thou also are a disciple of the Galilean. Oh, no, I'm not. I don't know what you're talking about. Three times. Our Lord in his mercy, what did he do? Peter, dost thou love me more than these? Yes, Lord. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. As our Lord said, when you recover, strengthen thy brethren. He did so. Now our Lord appears to the 12, and St. John's kind of a little direct here, but I think St. Matthew or Luke is a little more interesting because they were astonished and afraid. They thought they were seeing a ghost or an apparition. And he goes, look, it's me, touch me, my hands feel, it's me, it's really me. Ghosts don't have flesh and blood, you know, they don't feel warm. But they still weren't convinced. So one way to convince these, do you have something to eat? And they offered him a small fish and a piece of bread. And that calmed him down. But poor Thomas, when he showed up, wasn't there. The other 11 tried to persuade him. We saw our Lord. We saw everything. Of course, him and his doubting mind, you know, no, I won't believe. Not until I put my hands through the nail holes and put my hands in his side. I'm not going to believe you guys. No, I don't care if you all saw it. It doesn't matter. I don't believe it. So our Lord let him toss and turn with this turmoil for 8 long days. That he should have come to the conclusion that they can't possibly all be wrong or made a mistake. But Thomas just kept the doubt in his head. If he would have recalled some of the things our Lord did while he was amongst them, maybe this doubt would have disappeared, but he didn't. So our Lord returns 8 days later. Again, the doors were shut and barred. And he's right there. Again, peace be with you. Very calm, very sweet. And he directed full attention right at Thomas. Thomas, come here. And then he kind of chastised him with his own thoughts by repeating them back to him. Put your finger on the nail hole and put your hand into my side. And don't be unbelieving, but believe. And Thomas, like we all should do, humbled himself, knelt down, my Lord and my God. Our Lord was pleased. Thomas, because thou seest me, thou hast believed. Blessed are all those who have not seen and yet believe. We have not seen our Lord, yet we believe in it. Because now we have to exercise faith. They had him physical present. Didn't have much to work with. We don't have the physical presence. All we have is his word. Of course, the blessed sacrament and all that, but the word. What he said to us. How to conduct ourselves to walk towards God. This is his example for us. The church has been around for a long time, and we always wonder, well, how come there's not so many miracles? We don't need the miracles. We have that in our history book with the miracles of the church, the holy men and women, saints of God, in the history of our church. All we have to do is read about them and see how they conducted themselves, how they walked towards God. Is how we have to walk towards God. But today we have to exercise faith a little bit more because of all our enemies about us. And plus the world being itself so godless and senseless of anything that is sacred, so to speak. Only worry concerned about the reality of right now and at the present moment. Again, why am I here? What is my purpose here? To know, to love, and serve God. To be happy with him for all eternity. That's the goal. Some of us are getting very, very close to the end of that goal, where we will be happy with God. We have to be prepared every single day. But it starts with you. It doesn't start with the sacrament of penance or going to Holy Communion, but it starts with you in your heart. What are you telling God in your heart? Lord, I love you. I want to serve you for the rest of my life. And I consecrate to you myself and everything I do every day. Very good. Lord, I'm sorry for all my sins that I've committed. And at the first opportunity I get, I will take care of this in the confessional, which is good. But it starts at home. It starts with you first. All we do in the confession is ratify what you already told God in your heart. I am sorry. And that's all he wants to hear. How willingly our Lord wants to forgive and forget. Remember those in Scripture who you dealt with. Mary Magdalene, the woman caught in adultery, and others. Look how kindly he talked to them. Look at the ones that asked for favor. Well, Lord, that I may see, or Lord, remember me when thou comes in thy kingdom. Look at the reward they got. Look at Veronica wiping the face. She didn't say, I don't think she said a word to him. She just felt compassion and did that. Look at the reward she got. So small a service. But our Lord's parable about the prodigal son hits the nail on the head. He is very direct with this. That we've all done that. I've gone off and gone off the deep end and gone our merry way. Until we come to our senses and return to our Father's house. And what happens when we make our return? We're thinking, oh, no, it's going to be right now. There's our Lord with his hands extended waiting for us. Day and night goes out and looks to see if anyone's, if his sons or daughters are coming back. Well, not today. I guess I'll wait until tomorrow. Patience. Patiently waiting for us to return home. Doesn't that sound like a loving Father to you? He takes care of us, even when we go off the deep end? That's how much he cares for us. So all the little inconveniences and things of life that we have to deal with or tolerate, give it to him. Give it to him. It's worth it. All he wants to hear in your hearts is singing and rejoicing in him, in his great gifts that he has given us. And to always thank him every day for those graces and gifts that he has given us every single day. Especially his own body and blood, soul and divinity, which we receive in Holy Communion every day, if we so choose. Again, do you see how much he loves us? So, we have our work to do. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. The world's going to go its way. We see what's going on. We know what's going on. Can't be bothered by that. That's not going to get me to heaven, what they're doing or what's saying or whatever. What gets us to heaven are good works. My daily duties. My perseverance in prayer. Watch. Pray. Asking God for graces that I stand most in need of to overcome my faults and failings. To help me to overcome the trials and temptations that come my way. To help me to endure them or overcome them, whichever way it goes. All for the love of him. And if we do this throughout our whole life, we're not going to fear death. We won't fear judgment. We won't fear anything. Why? It's all done for the love of him. How nice it would be here that the Father is saying to us, like he said to his son, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. We try to persevere in the virtues that our Lord wants us to. The Father would be happy with us. Don't let anything discourage you. It is a narrow path. Our Lord told us that. It was narrow, straight and narrow. But perseverance winneth the crown. Charity covers a multitude of sins. Patience also winneth the crown. Be patient. Your reward is at hand. May God bless you. In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.